Well, what a privilege and an honor it is for all of us to be present this morning. Why is that so? Well, we're in the presence of God. We're in the presence of His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. We're in the presence of the Holy Spirit of grace. And you should feel honored then that this privilege is yours. Before we pay attention to the text that has been read and possibly some related scriptures, I want to ask your indulgence as I remind you, as I remind the men, of the importance of our 445 class today. I've been asked, I volunteered a little bit, really, but I've been asked if I would teach a lesson on the eldership. Those of you, of course, who are acquainted with New Testament authority of organization of the church that we are able to read of in the Bible, recognize that in every congregation there were men who were ordained, that is, they were appointed to the office of elders. Did you know that we have nearly 30 men in this congregation? That's wonderful. How privileged we are. And how privileged you are if you are one of those men. Now, I could talk about the bad part, and I could say only 6 or 7 of you show up for our men's meeting. I won't mention that, okay? What am I wanting from you today? I want 30 men that will be present in our study at 445. I'm well aware of the fact that some of you men, especially those of you that are coming from a distance, have a transportation problem. And so at the risk of somebody getting mad at me, but I want you to know I'll be delighted. If you wives need to come with your husbands, you come right along. You don't have to sit out in the lobby. You come right on in and sit at the class. I have gone ahead and printed extra lessons. I have to tell you that we will not get through with the study today. It will probably turn out to be not only this month, but the following month that we will be studying again. All of this, of course, is in preparation for the time, for the day when we will have men that are qualified who desire to have service as elders in this congregation. If you say, well, I'm not ready for that yet, then I want you to say, but I need to know what the qualifications are. And to whatever capacity, ability I have, I want to be studying now. I want to be preparing for it. I want to tell you, I've already done my part. I've studied. And I want you to do your part and to come and to be with us. So everyone is welcome, but I especially emphasize that I would like the men of the congregation to be here for that 45-minute or hour-long study. Okay, having said that now, let's consider the text, the admonition that is placed before, first of all, our brethren in Rome, and now as it applies to us. This admonition, this section of Romans chapter 13 finally sums it all up in verse 14, when Paul says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Have you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? What a marvelous statement that is. How full of absolute meaning it is. Oh, we frequently will have people to say, have you been saved? Among your religious friends, you may find people that will even say, are you a Christian? But how about this one? Have you put on Christ? Do you realize how full of meaning that is? I think every one of us in the audience should recognize that there is a definite time, that there is a definite activity wherein we put on Christ. If you will turn for just a moment to Galatians, the third chapter, you find that the Apostle Paul uses that exact term. In verse 26 of Galatians 3, by way of introduction, Paul says, for we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But he explains how that faith works and what it is that faith would have us to do in verse 27 when he says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. All right. There is the point action. What does every individual in the world have to do in order that they may put on Christ? You have to be baptized into Christ. Not as a baby. Infant baptism or infant christening is not involved in this. Not in order that you may join some denomination or some organization, but expressly understanding, I do not yet have Christ until I have been baptized into Christ. And there are very, very few baptisms that are toted, that are talked about, that are bragged about in the religious world that this New Testament baptism involves. When you were baptized, were you baptized in order to put on Christ? If you weren't baptized for the scriptural reason. But there is, as far as our text is concerned, a very vital point to remember. And whatever else may be said in this lesson is not to take away from that vital point. The thought is not that you put on Christ and then you can take him off the next day. That makes sense, doesn't it? When we put on Christ in this action, in this activity of baptism, that means you're to wear him all the days of your life. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. But having said that, having said that when we put on Christ, this does not mean that we are to take him off. Apparently what Paul is recognizing here is that there are some ways, there are some activities, there are some times in which, in a very special way, we can put on Christ. He sums it up in verse 14 when he says, put on Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We'll be talking about that a little later on. What I've done, though, dear friends, in our simple lesson is to simply talk about the privileges and the opportunities that are ours in order for us to put on Christ. We can put on Christ on Sunday morning. Did you know that? Did you put on Christ today? It's a special day. That does not mean whenever we talk about the first day of the week that we call Sunday, that does not mean that we cannot worship Christ at other times, that we cannot worship God in private, that there are no other times for us to sing songs of praise or offer our petitions to God. But what we are saying is the New Testament scriptures recognize that the first day of the week is indeed that particular day that the Lord Himself has selected in order that we may praise Him. I think very probably in Revelation 1 and verse 10, there is more that is involved than to simply say we are to be in the right mood. But John said there, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. There must be myriads of people who on the Lord's day, to them they just say it's another day of the week. So what? We had friends in Johannesburg that were quite upset when it rained on Sunday because they said that ruined our day. There's nothing for us to do. Shame, shame on every individual that supposes that Sunday is to just be a day for rest or recreation. Someone says, I can't worship God on Sunday because I've been asked to go on a picnic. Or there is some other kind of recreation. Don't you know that NASCAR is supposed to be racing today? I've got to be there instead of being to worship God. Oh, no. No, no. We're to put on Christ on the first day of the week because the privileges are abundant. It is that day to honor God, to honor Christ, to honor the death of Jesus. Don't you see how privileged you are to be a child of God? Here we have, in that sense of the word, gathered around the table. The bread has been blessed. It has been given thanks for. Because it's not some kind of physical food, it has to do with our being able to visualize as we picture Christ offering His body on the cross. There's no true recipient that is thinking about anything else. It has to do with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not to be done on Saturday night. Our religious neighbors, again, for shame, have said, so we can have Sunday free. Well, you can just fulfill that obligation if you come in your tennis shorts on Saturday night. That'd be all right. No authorization in Scripture to partake of the Lord's Supper on Christmas Day, or New Year's, or Thanksgiving, or any other time except the first day of the week. Acts 20 and verse 7, if you've not already memorized that short passage, if you've never yet marked it in your Bible, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them.
Paul and his companions stayed in Troas for a whole week, even though the scripture in that passage tells us they were rushing to be in Jerusalem. On the first day of the week. Dear friends, there's no greater obligation or privilege that you have on the first day of the week. You better be careful when you say, I couldn't be there because the boss asked me to work. You better be careful.
It's a day for us to honor our Savior, our Heavenly Father, who allowed His Son to die for us. It's a day to encourage and to be encouraged. The Lord knows Christians need each other. He knows that. He writes in Colossians chapter 3, not only to teach us that our songs of praise are to be offered with the instrument of our hearts, but he tells us what singing has to do with. So in verse 16 of Colossians 3, we read, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And brethren, we need that. We need that. We need to be taught. We need to be admonished. As we are singing these songs of praise to God, it's not to try out for an operatic number. It is not for the purpose of saying, well, I feel so good when I sing. We're worshiping God, and in so doing, if we're singing the right kind of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we're praising God. And we're teaching and admonishing one another. Dear brethren, let there not be the thought, the single expression of anyone saying, I didn't get anything out of the worship. Or nobody talked to me. What a great privilege it is on the first day of the week for you to be able to put on Christ, to teach and to be taught, to admonish and to be admonished, in order that you may be able to overcome, to thwart all of the fiery darts of the evil one. Some of you aren't going to like me, because I'm going to say something that you're not doing. And some of you have no intention of doing it. Devote the entire day to your service to God. Now, I don't mean by that what some misguided souls may mean when they say, well, we cannot cook a meal on Sunday. I don't mean that. What I do mean is we devote so little time to doing these most meaningful things of all. Worship. Growing spiritually. and we say, yes, I did what the Bible said.
I didn't come to Bible study. That meant I'd have to get up early. I'm strong enough as a Christian, I don't need Bible study. Who are you fooling? Well, I may have been a few minutes late, but I got here for worship. One, I won't call it a lousy hour. It's a good hour. Are you really happy with yourself?
Are you really satisfied with your spiritual growth
when you say, I devoted an hour on the Lord's Day. Look what I gave up. There are some who never, ever have any intention of returning for evening worship. Oh, the excuses, the reasons may be myriad. Put on Christ. Give it your very best effort. And you must put off Christ Sunday night. All of us have got Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. And Sunday night, you say, well, I can take these things off and I can dress differently tomorrow. Yeah, you can. But I have to tell you, you don't just put on Christ Sunday morning. That's not the way it works. If you have been following the gist of the lesson today, you understand that to a very great degree, what is going on here is to prepare you for tomorrow. We're among friends here today, aren't we? Nobody's going to get angry with you if you say, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Inwardly, spiritually, they're going to cheer. We're the friends of Jesus. Tomorrow, you're going to be with his enemies. Tomorrow you're going to be out in the world where everything is designed to tempt you, to lead you astray. The devil is so wise and so powerful. If he can get you to sin, if he can get you to say some words that you ought not to say, or to react in a way that you ought not to react, he's succeeded. And to that extent, you've just taken off Christ and gone right back into the world.
Tomorrow, Monday, if God lets you live, if he lets me live, put into practice what you learned today. Put into practice the Sermon on the Mount. Put into practice the admonition of our text here in Romans 13. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the lusts of the flesh to fulfill them. Look over. Well, while we're here at our text, and it would be a shame to ignore it, while we're here at the text, going over the words that Magnus had read for us. Verse 11, do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. And I'll tell you, dear friends, there's not a single one of us that is immune to any one of these sins.
that are listed. But whenever we are told, make no provision for the flesh, we must recognize that he is not talking about the natural things of the flesh, the food that we eat, everything that is good and right about this world. But he explains it in Galatians 5 in such a way that we cannot mistake, we can in no sense of the word overlook what is involved about making no provision for the flesh. I want to begin and just read a few verses, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. You follow along in your Bible. Now the works of the flesh, Paul says, are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelry, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you know what's going to happen to the Christian who is always angry? You're going to go to hell. Do you know that? Do you know what is going to happen to the Christian who is dishonest in their marriage and they cheat? You're going to go to hell. Do you know what is going to happen to you if you do not prepare on the Lord's day for all of the temptations and the evil that is in our evil world? You're going to go to hell. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not make any provision for the lusts of the flesh to fulfill them. Let your light shine. The scripture uses that, doesn't it? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. But how about Philippians 2? Here, Paul now is talking, to the church at Philippi, and he tells them that if they're not very careful, by squabbling with each other, by murmuring, all of those works of the flesh, here's the way he says it. Let's begin with verse 12 of Philippians 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but also work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. I've remarked before, verse 16 has a little variation in reading. One of the texts says, holding forth the word of life. The other text says, holding fast to the word of life. We've got to do both.
You've got to hold fast to the word of life in order that you may hold it out and offer it to others. But dear friends, that's our work, if you want to call it that. That's our labor. That's the way we put on Christ during the week. It's not just for our benefit. It's for the benefit of our loved ones. You mamas and daddies, you better be sure that you understand. My job is to train my children. God's given them into your hand. What if you fail? Teach your neighbor. Do you have some uncles and some aunties that are not yet Christians? You've got a special responsibility. How about your cousins? How about your nephews? Let your light shine. I'm not a rabble raiser. You may die this week. Might be in a terrible automobile accident. There may be somebody that will murder you. Jesus may come this week. Will he come today? I don't know. I like the idea, as far as my safety and preparation is concerned, if you come on Sunday. It would suit me if he were to come while we're all in Bible class. What if he comes Tuesday night and I'm engaged in some lawless, sinful activity? What if he catches me when my mouth is full of cursing? What if he catches me and takes my life when I say, soul, you have many much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. What's the lesson all about? Put on Jesus today. The water's here. You can be baptized if you believe he is the divine Son of God. You don't have to go away this morning out of Christ. You can put him on. But dear brother and dear sister, once you put him on, don't you dare, don't you even think about putting him on. All right, Brother Reuben. Psalm announced the first two verses. Let us help you with the prayer.